human faithfulness is imperfect, but God's perfect faithfulness endures forever.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Folks, as we are gathered here today, I want you to know I've been on this planet for 56 years. That long. I know, that long. And I've been in ministry in one form or another for several decades. And over the time, I have made some observations. And I'd like to share one of those observations with you this morning. And I want you to know this might come as a bit of a surprise to some of us here. But here goes. Nobody's perfect. I know, that's a stunner, isn't it? It's a real stunner. I know it comes as a bit of a surprise to some of us, right? But it is true. Nobody is perfect. And this is Christian and non-Christian alike, believer and non-believer alike. It is spiritually mature people or spiritually immature people alike. That we all still sin, that we all still make mistakes and fail sometimes because nobody's perfect. Well, almost nobody. See, there is someone who is perfect, right? God is perfect. His Son, Jesus Christ, He is perfect. He was perfect for us in our place. You know, the Scripture tells us that God requires righteousness, perfection of us, and we can't measure up. So Jesus measured up for us, that He lived a life of perfect faith and obedience in our place. And His grace is abundant, and His love never fails. His blood covers and cleanses us from all of our sins, failures, mistakes, and shortcomings. We want to continue in our series in Genesis here today, though, looking at the person of Abraham, Abram, or he would, as he would later be known, Abraham, at faith and fallibility. And we're going to be going over Genesis 12 through 20. This is one of those boatload of scripture sermons here. And I want you to know that I have made a promise to myself. And so I'm going to make a promise to you. I'm going to try to rein in the tangents and the bunny trails as best I can, because there's a lot here for us to consider here today. Who thinks I'm going to do a good job of that, reining in the bunny trails? All right, okay, well, we have some believers here. Very good. But we want to talk about Abraham and his faith, but also his fallibility. Now, when we say fallibility means what? Imperfect, right? Capable of falling or failing. Imperfect, weak, being wrong, making mistakes, sin. Abraham was a man of great faith, but he was also fallible, and his faith was fallible at times. And I want us to take away this key idea for the message here today, is that human faithfulness is imperfect. It's fallible. But God's perfect faithfulness endures forever. And that's something that we can all be very glad for and give thanks for, and worship God today. We fail repeatedly, but God never fails. He is perfect. His faithfulness, His love endures forever. I want to look at some context here before we look at our text. We see that in the book of Genesis, this book of beginnings, that God has created all things ex nihilo, that is out of nothing, that He made human beings in His image. Male and female, He created them. Human beings, we fell into sin. There was great wickedness that came about in the human race. God brought judgment in the days of Noah. And then we looked last week at the division of Babel and how Babel came to represent in Scripture this city of man, this city of wickedness, whereas God is building a great city, the city of God, of righteousness, the New Jerusalem. So God is at work in this world to bring redemption. And this fall into sin didn't surprise Him. Remember, we saw right there at the beginning with humanity's fall into sin, as God was pronouncing judgment on the man and the woman and on the serpent, on the devil, we see right there the first hints of the gospel. We call that the proto-evangelion. Proto is the first. The evangelion is the gospel, the good news. And so we see these first hints of good news that God was going to bring a savior, a redeemer. Genesis 3:15, the Lord here is speaking to the serpent, to the devil, when he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That from the beginning, God had promised to send a Messiah, a redeemer, a savior, who, though he would be hurt, his heel would be bruised. He would crush the devil. He will bruise your head, Satan. He would deal a death blow to Satan. And that this Redeemer then would come through a godly line of people, the godly line of Seth, through whom would come the Messiah. And at the end of Genesis 11 last week, we saw where we were introduced then to the man God chose. That through Abram, and later as he would be named, Abraham, all the peoples of the world would be blessed through the Messiah. Let's look in Genesis chapter 12, those first three verses. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How is it that all the families of the earth are blessed through Abram or Abraham? Because through him, through his line, would come the nation of Israel, and through the nation of Israel would come the Messiah, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, through whom all the people of the world are blessed through Christ. Today, then, I want us to look then at Abraham's faith, but then also then God's grace and faithfulness. We're going to see a contrast here, see a contrast between Abraham's faithfulness and God's faithfulness. We're going to see that Abraham's faith was a gift of God, that it was through grace that God declared him righteous. We'll see Abraham's fallibility, but God's enduring love and perfection, God's grace and enduring faithfulness. So we're going to look at some scriptures. I'm going to turn that fire hose on here in just a minute and look at some scriptures. Here's what I want us to see as we read through some of these scriptures. I want us to see Abraham's saving faith. You know, when we say faith, it can mean different things depending on the context. There is a saving faith. That is, this was the faith that God made Abraham righteous with him, declared him right with himself, Abraham's saving faith. But then there also is a living faith. That's our daily faith, our daily trust and confidence in God. And it is a living faith as opposed to what? A dead faith. Abraham's saving faith, Abraham's living faith. But then also then, and there are examples aplenty here, Abraham's fallible faith. You know, Scripture declares that he is a hero of the faith. He's in the Faith Hall of Fame in chapter 11 of Hebrews, isn't he? And yet, he was not a perfect man, and his faith was not always great. Abraham's fallible faith. I want us to look first at his saving faith, Abraham's saving faith. Turn to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Now God has called Abram to follow him. Abram has obeyed. He's in the land. And God then is assuring him of this covenant, of this promise of how God was going to bless Abraham. And it says, After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Here's the key verse. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Here we see Abraham's saving faith. See, Abram, he believed the Lord. He believed what God had told him. And God then counted it to him as righteousness. God declared him righteous because Abram believed the word of the Lord. So this salvation, this righteousness, has always been by faith, period. You know, some think that, well, how can I be right with God? How can I be declared right with God? Some will think, well, it's through our good works, right? We work really hard to do good work. Well, good works are important, but that isn't what makes us right with God. Because can any of us do enough good works to be right with God? No, we can't. And we will always inevitably fail, don't we? So salvation or righteousness with God is not something that we do by our works or our efforts. It is and always has been by faith. It always has been a gift of God's grace. You might think, well, okay, yeah, well, when Jesus came, now people are saved by faith. But you know, back in the Old Testament times, they were saved by their works, by the sacrificial system, right? No. They were saved by faith then as well. Now, yes, they would offer up their sacrifices, but they weren't saved through the sacrifices. The sacrificial system was merely pointing to Christ. They were saved by their faith in God, and their obedience to that was a demonstration of their true faith. Because can people go through the motions? Can people go through the motions of offering the sacrifices, but meanwhile, their hearts are very far from God and they don't really believe at all? Absolutely, right? Or in our day, can someone come to church, go through the motions of coming to church, sing the songs, listen to the sermon, maybe even be involved in the ministry, but really their hearts are far from God, right? So what we do on the outside isn't what saves. What saves is in the heart. It's faith, and it's always been by faith. Abram was saved by faith, period. Not faith plus his works. If you think I'm wrong about this and I'm making too much of that one verse right there, notice where it says compare it to Romans 4. Here's your homework assignment. Go home, you know, later today or perhaps sometime this week. Read through Romans 4. That's Paul's whole point, is he is talking about how people cannot be saved by works. We can only be saved by faith. Specifically, faith in Christ and the works of Christ for us. And so there Paul points to this passage and that verse right there, where he says, even Abraham, the father of our faith, was he declared righteous by his works? No, he was declared righteous by his faith. And Paul quotes verse 6 there and gives quite a bit of, believe me, much better and more eloquent explanation than I ever could here. So this isn't my opinion. This is what the Apostle Paul, and in particular then the Holy Spirit, inspired through Paul, that Abraham was saved by faith. So this is Abraham's saving faith. Now what about his living faith, his daily faith? I want us to look at some examples of Abraham's daily trust and obedience to God. In Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1 again, it says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram said, "Nah, I don't think so," and stayed right home. No? What did he do? So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. More on that next week. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. So here then, God had called Abram and said, "Leave your land." This is in Ur of the Chaldees, some 400 miles or 500 miles west, or east rather, of the Canaan, the promised land. And God just says, "Leave your home, leave all that behind, and come to the land I will show you." Would you have done that? Would you have responded with faith to a call like that? I don't know. You know what? God calls to us today, doesn't he? He tells us to do. Sometimes you know he's telling you something and you're like, "Oh, I don't know," but that's a little risky, right? But Abram believed. He trusted God. And he told him that he was going to give him descendants. Now, he had no child. He was an old man, his wife Sarai. She was well beyond childbearing years, but Abram believed. And he obeyed and he went out. We see in Genesis 13 then, again, another example. He says, "The Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you.' So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord." Again, you see him continuing to trust God and believe the unbelievable. See, in Genesis chapter 14, Abram has had to come to the rescue of his wayward nephew Lot. More on that next week. It says, "But after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet with him at the valley of Sheba," that is the king's valley. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And Abram gave him a tenth of everything." So here we see Abram's living faith. He left his homeland to go to a country God would show him. That took a lot of faith to do that, don't you think? But then also God had said this incredible thing that he was going to make a great nation out of him, even though his wife was well beyond childbearing years. How was that going to happen? But Abram believed God, and he left his homeland and obeyed God in the land where God showed him. Abram continued to obey and honor the Lord, building altars to the Lord, calling upon his name, doing as God told him to do. And then we read in Genesis 14 there about how Abram continued to trust God to give him victory over his enemies there in the land. And we're introduced to this mysterious person named Melchizedek, who was king of Salem. You would later know Salem as Jerusalem. He was the king of Jerusalem. He was the priest of God Most High. And he brought out bread and wine. And Abram, and he prayed for Abram. And Abram gave him a tithe, the tenth of all that he had. This is a mysterious person, but Scripture speaks. I remember we've talked about typology and types of Christ, forerunners or foreshadows showing other things. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. He's the king of Jerusalem. He's priest of God Most High. The bread and the wine, what's that sound like? Communion, right? He prays, he intercedes for Abram, and he receives Abram's tithe, his offering. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Book of Hebrews has more to say about Melchizedek there. There's the other part of your homework. Go home then, read Romans 4, but read in Hebrews about Melchizedek as well. So we see in Abram here then, boy, he's a great man of faith, isn't he? Yeah, he was. But he was fallible. He was imperfect. Need some proof of that? I got plenty for you here. Let's look in Genesis chapter 12. Now this is shortly after Abram had obeyed the Lord. He was in the land, but then some difficulties arose. It says, now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say, you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. And when Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. This great man of faith was afraid, and he lied. And he exposed his wife to all of that. Genesis 16, some time had gone by, God had promised that he was going to give Abram a son through his wife. But some time had passed and it just wasn't happening, and he got impatient. Sarai became impatient and, following a custom of their day, decided, you know what, we'll help God out. We'll help God out here. So let's, you'll have a son through my servant woman. Genesis 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant, it may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. And then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. And the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. But there's more. Do you think Abram learned his lesson the first time about fear and lying? He didn't. Some years later, Abram has now been called Abraham, is now called Abraham. It says in Genesis 20. It says, from there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev, that's the southern desert of Israel. And he lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. And in the integrity of my heart, in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. And then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. And then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see that you did this thing? And Abraham said, I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is the kindness you must do to me at every place to which we come. Say of me, he is my brother. Abraham's fallible faith. There was a famine in the land. Abram went down to Egypt, but because he was afraid, he lied about Sarai, saying that she was his sister. And he let his wife be taken into Pharaoh's house. In chapter 16, we see that he became impatient and he listened to Sarai. He decided he was going to help God out with God's promise, failing there again. And then, in chapter 20, as we just read there, he failed again with the same sin. What is it with people that keep stumbling over the same sin? Is anybody in here like that? You keep stumbling over the same sin, right? What was Abraham's here? It was fear. He trusted God. He believed God. And yet, sometimes something would happen. He'd find himself in a situation, and there was that fear again. Fear instead of faith. Good news is, though, is that God is gracious. God is perfectly faithful. And his faithfulness endures forever when ours fails. Genesis 15 shows us God's grace. God is making a covenant with Abram here. The way one would make a covenant there, they had a custom that sounds a little strange to our ears today. But a covenant was a sacred binding agreement or oath. And you would enter into this covenant and you would have an animal sacrifice and you would split the animal in two, one side here, one side there, and the two parties of the covenant, they would pass between those two sides of the animals, symbolically saying that if I break this covenant with you, may what was done to those animals be done to me. That was the significance of that. And so God is going to do a covenant with Abram. But notice a little difference in detail. Well, it's actually a pretty big difference in detail at the end. It says, Genesis 15, verse 7, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Now here's, I want you to notice this. Verse 17. Now when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Did Abraham pass between those pieces? No, only God did. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. This is God's grace. Normally, a covenant, it's two parties that commit themselves. Both would pass through. Only God did. What does that tell you? That it is an unconditional, gracious covenant of blessing for Abram that God himself would fulfill and uphold no matter what. Can you and I save ourselves, redeem ourselves? No, that is God's gracious work. God alone said that this was going to happen. And he did it. He did it. Did Abram deserve any of this? No, he didn't. But God blessed him. It was purely by God's grace that this blessing was given to him in this covenant. And God himself guaranteed it. Here only one party ratifies it. But God also demonstrated his perfect faithfulness in spite of Abram's failures. God was faithful to him. Genesis 12 here with the lie about Sarai and Pharaoh. Remember it said, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. In Genesis 16, with Hagar, who was booted out of the house then. God was faithful to Hagar. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing, for she said, truly, here I have seen him who looks after me. God cared for her in spite of Abram's and Sarai's sin and failure and harsh treatment of her. And then in Genesis 20, when Abram lied again to Abimelech about Sarah. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abram and returned to Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone you are vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children, for the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God was faithful to them in spite of their own sins and failures. You know what I like here, where God is dealing with Abimelech and how Abimelech is confronting Abraham for what he has done? How can you do such a thing? I want to give you what I would call Pastor Dan's very loose paraphrase of that conversation with Abimelech and Abraham. See, Abimelech and his household has been afflicted because of this lie of Abraham. Abimelech comes to realize that. This is shown to him. He says to him, essentially, here's again, it's a very loose paraphrase. Abraham, seriously, dude, really? What are you doing to me? Look at what you're doing to me. Seriously? Way to go, great man of faith. Right? Have you ever failed someone, hurt someone like that? Abraham did. But God was faithful and God blessed Abimelech. God is also, his faithfulness is enduring. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means the father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for a what? An everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to your offspring after you. We see God's grace, God's perfect faithfulness, and God's enduring faithfulness. You know, people are fallible, aren't we? Believer and unbeliever alike. Even spiritually mature people still sin and fail sometimes, right? We're going to have a lot more to say about this next week. We're going to look at Lot and Abraham's relationship with Lot and the story of Lot. It's a fascinating story there. But the point today is people are fallible, but God is not. God is infallible. He is perfect. He is faithful. When we fail him again and again, he remains faithful. So what? I want to remind us where we started, that human faithfulness is imperfect. But God's perfect faithfulness endures forever. Anybody here thankful for that? So I want to ask you, who are you trusting to be in right relationship with God? Who are you trusting to be in right relationship with God? Your own efforts, yourself, or God? Faith in Him. Who are you trusting to walk in right relationship? Who are you trusting to walk in right relationship with God? There we go. All right. Who are you trusting to be in right relationship with God? Who are you trusting to walk in right relationship with God? We're saved by faith. We're given righteousness by faith. But even the power to walk in obedience is, we're dependent on God even for that, aren't we? And finally then, who are you trusting in to see you through to the end? God's faithfulness endures forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that your grace endures forever. Lord, man, we see in Abraham a man of great faith and yet a fallible man with a fallible faith. And we too, Lord, are men and women who are fallible with fallible faith. but you prove yourself faithful to us again and again. We thank you, Lord, for that. May we give you praise and honor today for your grace, for your perfect faithfulness, and for your enduring, everlasting covenant of love. Help us, Lord, then to walk in right relationship with you by faith and through faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.